Good morning, Grace Fellowship Church. A couple of items I wanted to share with you to encourage you all. I shared with the men yesterday at men's Bible study, but I thought I would share with the whole group about Joseph Kinyanjui. Joseph Kinyanjui is one of the pastors in Kenya, the pastors that we are in the DDK Institute that we are part of, that Tyler and I went, and Elder Nick and Brother Tony will be going soon for the next module. Joseph is a pastor who's married. He has a wife. His wife's name is Mercy. He has a 12-year-old daughter, Joanne. He has an 8-year-old son named Caleb, a 4-year-old son named Joshua, and a 2-year-old daughter named Precious. He's a pastor of a church called the Agape Fellowship Church. He's in Katuya, which is about 25 miles south of Moranga, where we were. He's been a pastor for 15 years in that local assembly. In that local assembly, part of the denomination that he's part of is his housing is provided by the church. It's a parsonage. And so that's where he lives. He comes from a farming community. His parents live there and are part of the church that he pastors, and they farm. And when you say farm, they grow enough crop for themselves, maize. They have some chickens, and then this would be Joseph's dad grows coffee, and that's what he trades for other things. And so Joseph has a little bit of farming that he does, but he's slightly compensated and housed by his pastorate. Joseph's the one that, when we were there, Tyler gave testimony that on Tuesday he wasn't going to come back. He was very stirred up and very agitated at, I know you guys will have a hard time believing this, but mainly me and my delivery of the message. And he didn't want to be there. He was being pushed too hard, I think is the words he used with Tyler. And by Friday, he drove 3 hours just to be with us for 15 minutes at the end of the day, was how much he was involved and invested and desiring to be there. And what he came to understand is that the Word of God is what should guide his ministry and his life, not the denominational practices of the denomination he's part of. That sounds pretty simple, right? That sounds simple to us. To say, well, our lives ought to be guided by the Word of God, and so should our practices in our churches and our families, and not necessarily, not at all, by denominational practices, but rather by the Word of God. And that sounds simple. So he went and talked to his bishop about that, and they don't hear bishop, just hear it as a regional director, his bishop, the man over him, who is an authority in his life. And he talked with him about that, and that went how it went. It wasn't received with oh yeah, this is great. Let's really look at the things in our denomination and really start using the Word of God. It was met with some pushback. And now this Wednesday, Joseph called me the other night, and we talked for quite some time. And he meets this coming Wednesday with the 12-man apostolic council. They call it, for their denomination, which are the 12 men that run their denomination, to meet with them about his discussion with his bishop, his desires to live based on and do their ministry based on the Word of God, not on their denominational practices. And that very well may cost him his pastorate. Remember, this is the man lives in a home provided by the church. He's got a wife and 4 children. And he asked that I would pray for him, and I told him that I would and that we would be praying for him, that he would be courageous, that he'd be humble, that he'd be wise as he goes to talk to these denominational leaders about his desires to be led by the Word of God and not by the denominational practices that are in conflict to the Word of God. And so this Wednesday at midnight our time, Tuesday night 11:59 or Wednesday morning, 12 midnight, 9 a.m. his time, he'll be meeting with those, that apostolic council. And I tell you to be encouraged. I said two things to encourage you this morning. And be encouraged that the work that we're doing in Kenya is bearing fruit. And be encouraged that what they got was the Word of God in both the gospel class that Brother Ben taught and in the pastor role of a pastor class that I taught, the women that Tyler taught the gospel, they've got the Word of God, and it's changing their minds, some of them. But that can come with a cost. My wife, after I got done talking to Joseph, and I said, well, didn't you think about what might happen? You know, kind of like, boy, you kind of know that's coming, right? Well, yeah, I suppose you know it's coming when you teach something to people out of the Word of God, and they change their lives they change their minds, and then their lives are transformed. There's ramifications to that for sure. But I got to be honest with you, I didn't really think that after the first session I'd be talking with a brother who is risking his livelihood and his calling to stand on the Word of God. So be encouraged. Be encouraged that none of us are being asked to do that by God. There's things that cost us for sure. But to my knowledge, right now as we sit here, I know none of you that are being asked to risk your livelihood for the gospel, for the truth. So be prayerful for Joseph and be encouraged. Something else I want to encourage you all with, it used to be, I don't know, years ago, it would seem that I would know about every gospel conversation that was happening around this place with you all. Because there weren't that many. And so, you know, maybe Brad would be talking to his parents, and so I'd be talking to Brad, and I would know of most of the gospel conversations that were taking place. And I just want you to be encouraged. I don't know if 10% of what's going on out there right now. Glory to God. Because I come to understand and hear you guys, y'all talk to me and tell me, oh, by the way, I've been having this discussion for weeks or months, or I get on Facebook the other night and I see Greta on her Facebook page telling the good news, giving a gospel presentation. So I'm very thankful for that. Be encouraged that as it should be, we are out there talking to people of Christ. And so much so that I can't even keep track of it all. It sounds funny to me, but it's true. I used to know of all the conversations we were having because there were so few. And it was so new and it was so challenging for us. We are out there living out 2 Corinthians 5:20 as a local assembly. We are living out 2 Timothy 2:24 through 26. We have the ministry of reconciliation. We're telling people of Christ to be reconciled to the Father through the Son. We are correcting those who are in opposition. So praise God for that, His grace in our lives. Okay, today we'll be in John chapter 14, verses 4 through 6. John chapter 14, verses 4 through 6. Something I probably won't remember this many weeks, but Elijah happens to be here. My wife's been telling me about it. Something that your children might do if they don't have anything else they're doing is you could write down for them, like today, the words the way, the word the truth, and then maybe the word Jesus. And every time they hear that word, they just put a mark. Keeps them listening and engaged. So anyway, that's what Elijah will be doing. And I'll try to remember to give you some words they can be listening for in the future if you need that. So this in John 14 contains a very well-known statement by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Along with John 3:16, I would say this is one of the four or five most well-known passages there are. When Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm going to start reading in verse 1. I'm going to read through verse 6, so please stand as we read the Word of God. John chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may also be. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You may be seated. Beloved, if we are going to be ambassadors for Christ, if we are going to make disciples of all nations, if we are going to raise our children in the training and admonition of the Lord, if we are going to be Christians, we must rightly understand this statement that Jesus makes. And before everybody checks out, because look, most everybody here is going to say, I understand it. And maybe you do. But we must be able to understand and stand on the truth of this statement. When Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, you cannot disciple anyone. You cannot raise your children in the training and admonition of the Lord. You cannot go out and be an ambassador if you do not understand that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And that no one comes to the Father except through him. So I hope we'll listen today and understand this and learn to stand firmly on the solid rock of Christ. Let's set the scene again. It's Passion Week, and this is Thursday night. This is the night before Christ would be crucified on Friday. He has washed the 12 disciples' feet. He has exampled to them humility and love. He has told them that they are to love one another that way. After he washes their feet, he tells them one of them is a betrayer. He has Judas to leave. And then he's speaking to the 11 true Christians that are left, the apostles, the disciples, the 11 men who, mostly those men and a few others, the foundation of the church would be built upon. And he's speaking to them in the upper room. And remember, Simon Peter has just said to him, Lord, where are you going? And Jesus answered, said, where I'm going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterward. Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you now? Remember, we talked about this. Peter, he didn't like the plan. I want to follow you now. I'll lay down my life for you. Jesus answered him, will you lay down your life for my sake? Most assuredly, I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you denied me three times. So you've got this. Jesus has told them what's going to happen. Peter says, we don't like the plan. Remember, they all went along with him, as we saw in the other Gospels. Basically saying, we don't like the plan. We have a different plan. And we saw how last week, how Jesus, instead of being irritated and agitated and fed up like we might be, he comforted them. Chapter 14, he comforts them. Let your heart not be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Now listen, put yourself in the room. You're sitting there listening to Jesus talking. He says, stop being troubled. You believe in God, believe in me also. In my Father's house are many mansions, many rooms. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may also be. Can that be any more clear? I'm going to prepare a place for you. And I'm going to go and do that, and then I'm going to come and receive you to me, and you're going to be where I am. That seems really clear. And he says then in verse 4, and where I go, you know. And the way you know. In other words, you know where I'm going. How would they know? How would they know? Because he keeps telling them and others where he is from and where he is returning to. Listen, before we don't listen, everybody in this room needs to understand something, especially at this moment, those of you who don't know Christ. How can you be so dull? He keeps telling you where he's from and where he's going and how to go there with him. He keeps telling you week in and week out. But all of us need to listen and understand, because it seems like, how can't they get this? You know I've been telling you. John 7, verse 16. Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me. If anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. He who speaks from himself seeks his own glory, but he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is true." Pretty point blank. I was sent by God himself. I'm telling you what he told me to tell you. In verse 27 of John 7, remember, the Jews from Jerusalem are claiming they know where he's from. He's not the Messiah. Verse 27, "However, we know where this man is from, but when the Christ comes, no one knows where he is from." Then Jesus cried out. Remember, he screamed. This is the old crow cawing thing. I won't do it today, but this is loudly. He says, "You both know me and know where I am from. And I have not come of myself, but he who sent me is true, whom you do not know, but I know him, and I am from him, and he sent me. I am from heaven. God himself sent me." This is who Jesus is, everyone. He was sent by God to tell the things that God the Father wanted him to tell, and then he returned to God the Father, and he's going to take with him those who would believe on him. This is who he is. Verse 33, Jesus said to them, "The Pharisees, I shall be with you a little longer than I go to him who sent me." In John 8, verse 14, Jesus answered and said to them, this is because the Pharisees were saying he was a liar, that he wasn't telling the truth, that his testimony of himself wasn't true. Jesus answered and said to them, "Even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true for where I came from and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from and where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. And yet if I do judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I am with the Father who sent me. It is also written in your law, the testimony of two men is true. I am the one who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness of me." Again, remember where we are. We're sitting in the upper room. He's just told them he's leaving, and he's going to go prepare a place for him. He's going to come back and get him. And Thomas says, "We don't know where you're going. We don't know where you're going. We don't know how to get there." And Jesus says, "Yes, of course you do. You know where I'm going." How would they know? Because he keeps telling them. Verse 42. Jesus said to them, "If God were your father," this is when he's talking to those children of Abraham who were not children of God, and he's telling them, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me." Verse 58, Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." These 11 disciples had been around when he was telling them all these things. They knew where he was from. They knew where he was going. He kept telling them. Remember when the disciples saw the blind beggar in John 9, and they asked Jesus, who sinned, the blind man or his parents? Because his blindness was due to sin, obviously, so who sinned? And Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me, God, while it's day, the night is coming." God the Father sent him to do the works to prove his deity and to show that he was the light of the people. John chapter 10. The 11 heard this discussion with the Pharisees. "Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. The command I receive from my Father," down to verse 30, "I and my Father are one," down to verse 38, but if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I am in him. Again, all of these things the disciples have heard. When Jesus came upon the 4-day dead Lazarus, and he stunk, remember? Jesus said to her, "Martha, in the hearing of the 11, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, like the 11, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. You sent me. John 12, Jesus talking to Philip and Andrew, and they say, hey, the Greeks want to talk to you about your kingdom. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in the world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, my servant will also be. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. I will die and be honored by God, and so will anyone who follows me. John 12, in the summary of Jesus' ministry, John 12, 44, then Jesus cried out and said, he who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. Verse 49, for I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. Now again, I'm showing you all these things from John because the 11 disciples had heard all these things. Is it not clear where he's from and who sent him and what he's doing? Just in John 13, remember he told the 12, including Judas, one of them would betray him. Now I tell you before, it comes that when it does come to pass, you may believe that I am he, the Messiah. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. The Messiah was to be sent by God. Jesus says, that's me. Receive me, and you receive God the Father. And just now, in verse 2, he says, I go to prepare a place for you. I'm the Messiah sent by God to save those who God gives me, and I'm going to take them with me to paradise. This is so repetitive at this moment. It can't. We've done this over months, so we didn't look at all this at the same time, but how much more clear can Jesus make it? I was sent by God from heaven to tell and do the things he said to tell and do, that I might then go and prepare a place for those who would believe in me. And if you believe in me, you believe in him. And if you see me, you see him. That can't be much more clear. Jack, you need to understand something. You hear every week about Christ. Who he is, Eli, who he is God himself, sent by the Father to come down and to live a life and to do the works and to do the things and then to go back and take with him anybody who would believe in him. You keep hearing this. Don't harden your hearts. Right, Jeff? Don't harden your hearts to the things you're hearing. Heed my words. Jesus is who he said he is. He came from heaven. He went back to heaven. He is going to take with him those who would believe. Thomas said to him, great. Go do what you have to do. Praise you, and we'll see you when I die. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? The disciples are confused. They were often confused and continually confused until the Holy Spirit indwelled them and revealed to them the things that, and reminded them the things Christ had said. They continued to be confused. Back in John 2, Jesus answered and said to them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then the Jews said, it's taken 46 years to build this temple, and you will raise it up in 3 days? But he was speaking of the temple of his body. When he had risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this to them. and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. They didn't believe it at the time. John 12. His disciples did not understand these things. What things? Old Testament prophecy about the triumphal entry of the king riding on the colt of a donkey. His disciples did not understand these things at first. When Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written about him and they had done these things to him. They didn't get it. God had not yet allowed them to understand. John 13 says in 7, Jesus answered and said to him, you do not understand now, but you will know after this. After he washed their feet, or before he did, he says, you don't understand it now, but you're going to understand it. Last week, we looked at this Peter, and he says, the rooster crows three times, you're going to deny me. And Peter said, no, it's not going to happen. And then when it happens, he goes, yeah, that's right, he said that. Why didn't they get it? God's timing, God's plan. We see God's sovereignty all over this. Why didn't they get it? What had to happen? The sheep needed to scatter. If they understood all of these things, they would not have scattered the way they scattered. They needed to scatter when he was going to be arrested. And then they needed to scatter to go proclaim the gospel. All of these things were in God's perfect timing. So I'm not now talking to the unbelievers in here. I'm talking to the Christians in here. We are to patiently continue to tell people of Christ. Because we don't know if and when they're going to get it. But we do know this, that God's elect will get it. So you keep telling them. You don't grow weary in doing good. You keep telling them. And where I go, you know. And the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. And how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus said it as plain as he could say it. I am the way. This is the sixth I am statement. Remember what I am comes from. Ego I me. Where did they know of ego I me? Where would every Jew, including those 11, what would they come to mind when they heard ego I me? Or when he had said it to them, I am, when he was talking to the children of Abraham, what would they know? They'd know that came from Exodus. They would know that came from Exodus 3:14. And God said to Moses, I am who I am. Moses said, who should I tell him sent you? Sent me. Who am I coming? I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am, has sent me to you. So when Jesus says, I am, here he is, I am, is God himself. So he says, I am the way, I am the way. Again, you guys have all heard this, you'll maybe say, yeah, got this. Not a way, the way. He's not one or even the best ways to God, the Father in heaven. He is the way. The way. 1 Corinthians 3:11, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. There is no other foundation. There is no other way. There is no good works. There is no baptismal regeneration. There is no sacraments of the Roman Catholic Church. Jesus Christ is the only way. See, we can all say we know that, but do we go out and stand firmly on that truth? Do we teach our children to be good children? Or do we teach them they need Christ because he's the only way? The way. Many of you know this, but in the book of Acts, we see six times. What is Christianity called in the early in the first century, second century. It's called the way. Acts 9:2, Paul, Saul, he's breathing out these murderous threats against the disciples of the Lord and asks letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus so that if he, Saul, Paul, found any who were of the way. Now, I think this is really worth pausing for just a moment to think about. In the early church, Christianity was known as the way. If we walk out of these doors right now and we talk about the way, will people think of Christianity? Why don't we take that back? Why don't we let people know that Christ is the way, Christianity is the way? Using those very words. It is not a religion amongst many religions. It is the way. It is not a way to a better life now. It is not a fix your life. It is the way. Why should we be firm in this? Because Jesus said so. He said, I am the way. Because I'm the truth and the life, I am the way. I'll probably get to this more later, but to tell unbelievers about religion or about biblical principles so they can try to live by them to do better and be better is an absolute, it's cruel. It's absolutely cruel. You need to hear me. I've done it. It is cruel to tell an unbeliever to live a Christian life. You tell them of Christ, not of a Christian life. I am the way, the truth, the truth, definition of truth, the quality or state of being true. Not very helpful. Definition of true, in accordance with fact or reality. Let me ask you all a question. Where do you find truth? Eli, where do you find truth? Where do you find truth? Jesus said, I am the truth. How can he make that claim? How can he and then we make that claim? How can I be so arrogant to go out and tell people I know the truth? I can assure you and guarantee you I know the truth. And you don't, unbeliever. Well, that's pretty arrogant. It's not arrogant. Here's why I can make that claim. The same reason Jesus could make that claim. John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 18, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, the monogenes, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has exegeted him. He has declared him. Because he is the exegesis of God. Because he is God. And God doesn't define the truth. God is the truth. Listen, we need to understand something. God doesn't define the truth. God is the truth. Jesus is the truth, not a definition of the truth. This is the truth. There is no other truth. That's the only truth there is. Quickly, because you've all done it maybe or seen it. You ask an unbeliever, an arrogant unbeliever, or an agnostic, or is there truth? Is there any absolute truth? Because they know you're a Jesus freak, so they want to shoot that down. They say, no, there is no absolute truth. And you say to them, is that true? They just made a truth statement. Do you see that? They say there's no absolute truth. That in and of itself is a truth statement. There's only one truth, and it is Jesus. He is the truth. That guy's name, not Paul Pierce, played for the Celtics, had the nickname of the Truth. He's not the Truth. Don't you dare, Christian, call Paul Pierce the Truth. I don't care how cute the nickname is. Jesus is the Truth. That probably went over most of your heads, but it's okay. It really is. When Jesus said this to the 11 in the upper room, he was once again telling them that he was God. When he told them that he was the Truth, because God is truth. Look at Isaiah 65:16. So that he who blesses himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth. And he who swears in the earth shall swear by the God of truth. Psalm 31:5. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, God of truth. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said and will he not do? Or has he spoken and will he not make good? Look, since truth is what corresponds with fact or reality, and reality is that what actually does occur, and since nothing occurs that God did not ordain, he is the truth. Can you follow that line of thinking? If truth is what corresponds with fact or reality, and the only reality is those things that actually occur, and the only things that actually occur are those things that God has ordained, then he is the truth. He's fact. He's reality. He is the truth. And there is no other truth. Children, there is no truth outside of Jesus. You'll have to go ask your parents how come 2 plus 2 equals 4 is not true. It is true. Because God said it's true. God gave you a mind to reason and to logic, and that is true, that 2 objects plus 2 objects equals 4 objects. God is true. He is the only truth. Because nothing happens, really, that he didn't ordain. Jesus is the exegesis, the manifestation of God. He is God speaking to us, and therefore Jesus is the truth. Hebrews 1, God, who at various times and various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. Jesus Christ is the truth as God is the truth because he is God. See, John heard this, didn't he? John is one of the 11 sitting there. Apostle John is one of the 11 sitting there hearing him say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And look what John says in John 1, or 1 John 5:20. And we know that the Son of God has come and given us an understanding, that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. John believed that Jesus was the truth. We must believe that Jesus is the truth and the only truth. He is the truth. Even more than the source of truth, he is the truth. God is true. John 1:1-2. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and the Word became flesh. Jesus is the Word of God. Look, Colossians 2:3 says what? Christ, in whom all the hidden treasures of knowledge and wisdom dwell. Christ, in whom all of the knowledge and wisdom dwell. That's where you find all of the knowledge and wisdom of God, is in Christ. So this Word, he became flesh. Jesus is the Word of God. And then what is Jesus going to pray in John 17:17? Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. This is the Son talking to the Father. Your word is truth. You sent me into the world. I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. This is God's word. This is God breathed. The whole New Testament, all of the Bible, but specifically the New Testament written by the apostles who were around Jesus and heard his words. And the Holy Spirit had him write down, brought to mind the things he had said. This is the word. So, Jesus is the truth which corresponds to fact or reality. There is no other source of truth. You see, I think everybody in here is going to nod their head with me. Will you really go out and will you really train your children up to understand that Jesus is the truth and the only truth? Or is Pythagorean's theorem true? Or is evolution true? What's true? God is true. Where do I find God? Where do I learn about God, children? In your catechism questions, where do I hear about this? In the Bible. Romans 3. What advantage then has the Jew, or what is the profit of circumcision? Much in every way, chiefly because to them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? Certainly not. Indeed, let God be true, but every man a liar. No matter who might say otherwise, Jesus is the truth. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. Anyone who says different is a liar, because God is true. Jesus is the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. The life, we've talked about this before, in the Greek, three words for life. Bios. Bios means the physical body, where we get the word biology. Psuche, where we get the word psychology. That is the mind, the emotion, or the will of a human being. Which of those words is he using here? Neither, says Jay. Correct answer, Jay. He's using Zoe, which means eternal life. He's not talking about biological life. He's not talking about a life that will end as far as Greta Zood's emotions, mind, and will. He's talking about eternal life, the eternal soul. And he says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am eternal life. John 1:4, in him, who's the him? The word that became flesh, God the Son. In him was life, Zoe, and that life was the light of men. John 5:26, for as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. Eternal life is found in Jesus. It is in Jesus. That's where eternal life is. He is eternal life. That is where eternal life dwells. John 11, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the Zoe. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Listen, what is Jesus talking about? What does it mean to be dead? It means to have our spirit, our eternal soul, separated from God because of our sin. And the only way that spirit, that eternal soul, is going to come back to life is in belief in Christ. In Christ, you will find life. See, this separation that we experience that came in Adam, that we all have, this separation from God, our eternal soul that is separated from God, a.k.a. dead. The only life for your eternal soul, for eternity in heaven with God instead of eternal damnation away from God, is in Christ. He is the life. We just looked at 1 John 5:20. And we are in him who is true, in his son, Jesus Christ. This is the true and eternal life, true God and eternal life. Jesus is eternal life. See, eternal life cannot be obtained. It's in Jesus. You can't obtain it. It's in Jesus. You can receive it. You can't obtain it. John 3:15. That whoever believes in him should not perish but have Zoe. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him should not perish but have Zoe Ionios, everlasting life. Verse 36, he who believes in the Son has Zoe Ionios, everlasting life. He who does not believe in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. Does Jesus have eternal life? He is eternal life. He doesn't say, I have it. He says, I am it. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I don't have the way. I don't have the truth. I don't have eternal life. I am those things. There is a big distinction. I hope we can understand the distinction of having something as compared to being something. He is God. He is life eternal. Who knows they've got to latch on to Jesus? Anyone who's latched on to Jesus. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to Zoe. There are few who find it. Because I am the way, because I am the truth, because I am the life, I am the way, says Jesus. I am the way. Because I am the truth and I am the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. Only one way to the Father. There's only, and look, there'd be no confusion for the Jews when he's talking about his Father. They know he's talking about God. There's only one way to the Father, says Jesus. John 10:7. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. And whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Matthew 7:13. Enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. There are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. The way, the truth, and the life, that door, that gate is narrow. I want to read you some quotes. We never try to convert those who receive aid from missionaries of charity. We never try to convert them to Christianity. But in our work, we bear witness to the love of God's presence. And if Catholics, Protestants, Buddhists, or agnostics become for this better men, simply better, we will be satisfied. It matters to the individual what church he belongs to. If that individual thinks and believes that it is the only way to God for her or him, this is the way a God comes into their life, his life. If he does not know any other way, and if he has no doubt so that he does not need to search, then this is his way to salvation. Who wrote that? Who? Mother Teresa. We don't try to convert him to Christianity. We just want to make him better Buddhists. All is God, says Mother Teresa. Buddhists, Hindus, Christians, etc. all have access to the same God. There are many paths to what you call God. There couldn't possibly be just one way. Who said it? Oprah. I know she's not a big religious, but hey, she's got millions of followers. And you know them. You might have used to have been one of them. You know the followers of Oprah who listen to Oprah, who says there's many paths to what you call God, Tony. There's many paths to what you call God. There cannot possibly be just one way. I used to play God, but I can't do that anymore. I used to believe that pagans in far-off countries were lost, were going to hell, if they did not have the gospel of Jesus Christ preached to them. Okay? I used to believe that pagans in far-off countries were going to hell if they didn't have Christ preached to them. I no longer believe that. I believe that there are other ways to recognize the existence of God, through nature, for instance, and plenty of other opportunities, therefore, of saying yes to God, other than the gospel of Jesus Christ. Who said it? Billy Graham. You know people that know of Billy Graham. You know people that think Billy Graham is a godly preacher of the truth. I think that everybody that loves Christ or knows Christ, whether they're conscious of it or not, they're members of the body of Christ. And that's what God is doing today. He's calling people out of the world for his name, whether they come from the Muslim world or the Buddhist world or the Christian world or the non-believing world. They are members of the body of Christ because they've been called by God. They may not even know the name of Jesus, but they know in their hearts that they need something they don't have. And they turn to the only light that they have. And I think they are saved and they are going to be with us in heaven. Who said it? Billy Graham also. You see, people listen to Billy Graham and Mother Teresa and Oprah. And you know the people that listen to them. And I don't know, I've received a lot of criticism for a lot of things. I don't know what's on the top of the list, but some of the top of the list are the way I will talk about Joel Osteen or the Roman Catholic Church or Mother Teresa. Early on in my pastorhood, I don't know if you recall this or not, those who used to be here, I one day talked against Mother Teresa using her own words. That made some people very upset to the point of eventually leaving, that not being the only reason. But see, here's the problem I have. Here's my problem. My problem said, I am the way. Because I am the truth and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, says Jesus. And I will, by the grace of God, die telling people that truth. And so must you. Acts 4:12, now there is salvation. There is salvation in any, nor is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under the heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Only the name of Jesus. John 1. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Verse 34, and I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God, the name of Jesus. And I'm not going to preach it all today, but all that's contained in who Jesus is. The Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, the Son of God. The Jesus is sitting in the upper room with the 11 who have been listening to him now for 3.5 years. He says, I'm going to go to my Father's house. I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going to take you with. And they say, we don't know where you're going. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Me, everything you know about me, everything I've told you about me, Jesus says. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified. Is this true? If I have been crucified with Christ, it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Listen, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. This gets back to what I kind of mentioned earlier. It is hateful to show people a law to follow. See, some of you are in here today, and you keep coming here. And you come here because you want to learn how to be better. And you deny Christ with your very life. You can't know Christ. You can't know a better life if you don't know Christ. You can't just gussy yourself up. Don't show people the law to follow. Show people the law they cannot follow. And then show them Christ, where life is found. Don't make unbelievers better. I said it before, I've been guilty of it. Some of you have been guilty of it. Stop giving unbelievers biblical principles to live by. Unless you're doing it to show them they can't, so you'll show them Christ. Colossians 2:8 through 10, beware lest anyone cheat you. Billy Graham, Mother Teresa, the Pope, Joel Osteen. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of this world. Like, there's got to be more than one way. It's just not logical. And not according to Christ. For in him, in Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in him, Christian, who is the head of all principality and power. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. I marvel, Paul says to the church at Galatia, you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. Paul says, but even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. See, that includes Billy Graham or Mother Teresa or the Pope or Joel Osteen or Oprah Winfrey. But it also includes us. If we ever preach another gospel than the one that's been given to us, we should be accursed. We are accursed. If we ever preach another gospel but Jesus Christ being the way, because he is the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through Christ, the Christ of the Scriptures, in repentance and belief, in faith. If we ever preach any other gospel, we're accursed. Let your heart not be troubled. I know you think you have a different plan. I know you think there's probably a better way. I know a broad road would be more appealing. The truth is, it's a narrow road. The truth is, it's Christ and Christ only. In him is life. He is the truth. He is the way. No one comes to Father. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may also be. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Then Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The way, Matt, is Christ. Christ alone. There's no other way. And the truth of the matter is, what you need to understand is, that God is who he says he is. That most of you in here even think he is. Most of my children. Jack probably thinks God is who he says he is on some level. I know Sarah thinks God is who he says, and thinks Jesus was the Son of God. But know this, God, the creator of the universe, we are all under his wrath. We abide under his wrath. We are headed to an eternity separated from him because of our sin that we willfully and willingly participate in. And Jesus Christ, God himself, came down and lived in the flesh. God the Son, and he lived a perfectly sinless life. And he died a sinner's death, took on the wrath of God, drank it to the bottom of the cup. And then he was resurrected, and now he sits at the right hand of God. And he is the only way to be made right with the Creator, whether you want to acknowledge it or not. Stop hardening your hearts. Stop going out and sinning, acting like what I'm telling you today isn't true. Repent and believe on Christ and live. Beloved, we have got to tell people the truth. Not some form of or version of or softer way. The truth. We have to understand what Jesus said. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. There is no other Father, by the way. There is one God. And we all don't worship the same God in all these different religions. There's two religions, everything else and Christianity. There's two statuses, in Christ, not in Christ. Perishing, living. That's the only two statuses there are. Your good Jewish friends or your nice Muslim friends, they're headed to hell. Most every Catholic you know, if they believe in the doctrines of the Catholic faith, they're headed to hell because they don't put their faith and trust in Christ alone. Closing thought. Jesus continues with great patience to explain the way to God in heaven. He is the way, the truth, and the life. There's only one way to be reconciled to the Father. That is through the Son. No other way. And not just any Jesus, only the Jesus of the Bible. If we are to patiently tell others of the solution to their sin problem, we must know the way. Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. We must know the way. We must know the gospel. We must know the truth. We must know the life. We must know him in an intimate relational sense, and we must know him in an ability to proclaim the truth of him sense. You cannot raise up your children in the training and admonition of the Lord, mothers, if you don't know Christ. You can't go out with a ministry of reconciliation if you don't, and it's got to be the Jesus of the Bible. It's not the Mormon Jesus, not the Jehovah's Witness Jesus, it's the Jesus of the Scriptures. It is God himself. You have to know Christ, and you have to proclaim Christ, because people can't be saved if they don't hear the gospel of the Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. Father God, you are holy, you are perfect, and you are righteous. You have sent us your Son, Christ Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, who prepared a way for us to be made right with you, who has prepared a path for us that would repent and believe on him, us who would believe of our status, of our state, us who would stop hardening our hearts and turn to Christ that we might live. We will be with you in paradise, Father, and I thank you. In the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord, amen.